stressed. 60% of women said that was the case in some situations. It's not that I don't want to be with him. It's just that at the end of a long day, it's sometimes hard to make the transition to wanting physical intimacy at that moment. 48% of women, almost half women, said that was the case. So if you add those up, 168% of women said that was the case in some way. Obviously, it's women answering multiple different ways. But the guy mindset is, I can't imagine finding my wife attractive, being in love with her, and not wanting to have sex with her often. So how can she be that way? And it's like, okay, this gets back into a little bit of the physiological part of it, but it really is more of a mindset. So I want to share five revelations about women and sex. And the five revelations we're going to talk about in just a second, discuss around the tables. Number one, she has a lower sex drive than we do. She has a lower sex drive. And that's really physiological. When asked, if you look on page 135, you can see this quote. That's where you'd find it. She said, listen, I would change that fact if I could. Women said, I would change that fact if I could. Men have more testosterone. We know that. We hear that. But that testosterone is the assertive hormone, if you will. And estrogen is the receptive hormone in women. So estrogen hormone equals more susceptibility. And this is one of my favorite. Go ahead and put up the next one. I think it's on there. No, it's this one. This is the change part of it. And I do like this one. There it is. Okay. But the estrogen hormone is the more susceptible to non-sexual distractions. So that's a huge piece of it. Percentage-wise, what percentage of all women, and it's an even higher percentage for those who said, I'm happily married, said they would change their sex drive if they could? What percentage do you think that was? And the drum roll, and then it said, bang, 82% said they would. Basically, 100% of happily married women said they would change that if they could. It's physiological. And they're like, I wish I could change that. They want to be sensitive to that, and they want to be a positive effect in that. But they are going to hear more distractiveness, a sound, the kids in the other room, the idea of what's going on in their life is just, remember the different screens we talked about that pop up in their minds constantly. That's a revelation that's going on. The second revelation is this. She needs more warm-up time than you do. And I don't know if you've heard this before or not, but men tend to be microwaves, women tend to be crockpots. If you haven't heard that, that is a reality. It's like, bing, we're ready to go. And they need a longer takeoff ramp, if you will. And if you've been married for a while, you understand that concept. I had an older gentleman last night, been married over 45 years. He said, man, my wife had to teach me that. He said, because she would show up in a negligee, and I'm ready. And he said, I thought that warming up part was me helping her take that off. That was my warm-up. And she taught me. Hey, this is how you get me to where you are. And he said it became this really great, intimate togetherness. The third revelation is, I love this one, your body by itself is not a turn-on to her. And many guys just think, wow, she finds me attractive. Well, it's a whole lot more than body. For her, and this is the number four revelation, for her, sex starts in the heart. It goes back to that emotional level. She is turned on emotionally, not physically. And then this revelation was one that I had never heard of before, and there was a really amazing percentage that goes with it. For some women, at some times, she wants the pleasure, but it just doesn't happen. It's just not there. Imagine a dysfunction of men, and I've had this, I'll share in a minute, of just not being able to, having the desire, but not being able to at any point. And that could be, there's 16% of women deal with this physically at some point or ongoing. And they described it this way. Women said, you know what? I love the process. I love going there. I just don't finish. And imagine that experience of just not being able to finish and enjoy it to the fullest. That's 16% of women are at that point. And there are some medical and psychological opportunities that can adjust that. But with those five, and I'm going to leave them up there and we'll come back to it, I want you to discuss for a minute these three questions. And we got about 7 minutes to do this one. Did either of the statistics about men or women view of sex surprise you of how high it was? Which of the five revelations about women and sex surprised you? And what has been the greatest challenge for you to remember? Of those five, what would be the greatest challenge to remember? So if you want to, we'll flip back and forth to these in the previous slide so you can do that. So those are the five, and you can look at the percentage. We'll leave it here for a minute and flip back. You got about 7 minutes to answer those questions. Go. All right. We're going to keep rolling forward. We're doing great on time. There's a really cool verse that I would encourage you to potentially memorize, because if we know our desires and we know what fulfills us, this is a great mindset of, it says, in the same ways, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hated his own body, but nourishes and cherishes their body just as Christ does the church. In other words, what we're about to look at is the way we can nourish and cherish our wife in this way. And I want to be encouraging also in the sense that the female version of this book, for women only, goes into great depth about how we are and how to really encourage us in this area. And women really do have this mindset of, well, I don't fully understand it, but how can I encourage and validate him in that? And Shanti goes into great detail about how that part of our life really connects to our self-esteem and the kind of foundational for us. But with that in mind, Jeff shared that he had shared with these guys, hey, here is a Ordinary Husband's Guide to Great Intimacy, and that's the next piece we're going to look at. And his friends were saying, man, what is the result of this? And he says, well, the result, if we'll really commit to it, is going to be more intimacy and more opportunities. And I love what his friends said. They said, dude, if you can get guys to where they're having sex on average at least one more time per month, that's 12 times a year. And his friend said, they will build statues and parks of every city of you if you can make that a reality. And with these, I love these simple pieces, and we're going to talk about them in a second. Number one, pay attention and help her, and here's the kicker, outside the bedroom. If we will take the time to really be attentive to her needs and really kind of get rid of some of those distractions, then that's going to be a huge, huge plus. There's a gentleman, John Gottman. He's a marriage psychologist that has written a bunch of books, but I love his statement here. He says, men who do more housework have both happier marriages and better sex lives. There's a direct correlation between those two. So if we'll take the time to say, okay, what does she need help with? What are her buttons? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. In that same realm, give chase. And I don't think it says give anticipation time, but that's really the next one. I want you to add one to what's not up here, and that is give chase. And that's just a callback to a couple weeks ago that women have the same romantic pursuit need as men do sex drive. What our sex drive is to us, their need to be pursued and feel pursued is to them. As Jeff puts it in the book, 007, James Bond, it's not because he's suave and wears a tux and that. It's because he woos women. And he just woos them into submission, so to speak. And it's about the chase. It's about saying, hey, you're worth my attention and my wooing. And then the third one is give anticipation time. And what that really calls back to is that time to warm up. Just doing the little things may still not clue her in. Be obvious. Be flirty. that's the one woman on the planet you can be ridiculously flirty and overtly encouraging in the way of saying, you know what, you just really turned me on. I don't know that I can make it to bed and sleep tonight if we don't take care of this. And do that at 12 in the afternoon. And just that flirtiness is huge. And give her anticipation time. And then here's the big one. When in doubt, ask her. And this is one of the huge pieces. One of the ladies at this conference, when they were saying, hey, we're going to talk about your husbands, and we want to ask what helps you, and we're going to share that with the guys. And this lady said, well, please tell me you're going to tell the guys to brush their teeth. That was her entire thing. And it's like, what? Why don't you tell him to brush his teeth? I mean, if you guys are married, you're telling me you don't have the communication to be able to go, hey, it's a big turn on for if you brush your teeth. If you will, I wanted to just find this woman and go, you tell him that, he'll brush his teeth 10 times a day. You just got to communicate. And the same is true if we will ask our wives, hey, what works for you? What do you enjoy? What do you not enjoy? Do you win? What makes you win? And how is that? To have those conversations is absolutely huge. And to make it a we experience is what intimacy is all about. After my heart surgery, they were figuring out the medications of what I was going to have to do. And one of the side effects was I still had a great desire with my wife, and I didn't have the ability when it was time. And it was like, whoa, okay, we need another medication. The side effect of that side effect is my wife was unbelievably sensitive to that, and it became a team effort. She's like, hey, I know how important this is, and we're going to make this happen. And I'm like, wow, okay. And it became a team effort because she had asked, and she's like, hey, what's going on? I said, well, this medication's messing with me. And it became a we experience, which is what intimacy is about. And the bottom line is, in her mind, and this is why we need to ask, that little girl who used to ask her dad, how do I look? Am I pretty? That little girl still exists in our wives, and she's still asking that question. So we need to be sensitive to that. I love this survey. I think it's the next one. Yeah. What percentage of surveyed women most wished their husbands or boyfriends would reassure them often that they are beautiful and they are loved? It was a little bit lower than I expected. Go ahead and put it up there. It's actually 85% said that they want to hear reassurance often, that they are beautiful and that they are loved. And often is not just once a day. It's pretty repetitive whenever we get the opportunity. She needs to hear from you that she is beautiful and loved early, often, and repetitively. That's what came out in these surveys as a culmination of all what these women said. And then I'm going to have you open to page 159, but on 158, I want you to see if you agree with these. Have you ever wondered why, after trying on an outfit, after outfit, after outfit, she gets frustrated and declares she has nothing to wear? Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever wondered why she wants to buy new clothes even if she knows you are on a tight budget and even if few of her clothes could possibly be considered old? Have you ever wondered why she always asking you how she looks when there's a mirror right there in the bedroom or the bathroom? Have you ever wondered why she says, do these pants make me look fat? And when she really means is, tell me I'm not fat. Have you ever wondered why it's such a big deal if your eyes linger on another beautiful woman passing by? Have you ever wondered why she gets upset about that? So here's the deal. That's within her DNA. On page 159, there are five facts about women that I want you to read around the table. So here's what we're going to do in the discussion. Take turns reading. I think there's five people at each table, except for you guys. Somebody's going to have to read a couple twice. Read all five of them out loud. And then answer the question. Discuss which one you think is most important and or applies most to your wife or significant other, okay? Or which one would apply, which one do you think is most important? So read those out loud around the table and then discuss that question. You got 5 minutes. Go. This is where you start reading. All right. Out of all the comments that women gave, this is probably the most encapsulating of how they feel in the what's known in the book as the ugly truth. One woman wrote this, and it really does indicate what women think. Every day we are bombarded with these images all around us of how we are supposed to look. We have this fear that we feel like we'll always have to live up to our husband's expectations of this perfect Hollywood body image, and we know that we can't do it. Somehow we get the idea that if we don't, oh no, maybe his attention will turn elsewhere. It's a very insecure feeling, even if it's totally ridiculous. And that's one of those they can't help in that. So here's the reality. Guys, we are divinely positioned to encourage and build up the women we love. God has put us in that position. So how do we do it? So I want to look at a few how-tos. I would encourage you to write down the big points of these because we're going to discuss those in the last section, and then we're going to answer an amazing question to kind of give us motivation and or a revelation for us about what women think. Number one, say it. Women are desperate for specific and genuine compliments. Say it out loud. Say it often. Our words are the loudest and brightest reflection that she will experience. God has put us in that position, and they are the loudest and brightest. So say it, and then say it now. If she has put on makeup or clothes of any kind for any reason, make a positive comment. I did not realize that I had done this when Heather and I were very first dating. She was going to help us move a friend of mine, and she said, yeah, pick me up on Saturday morning. And I said, it's going to be early, so I pick her up, and she had overslept, and she goes, let me brush my teeth and change real quick, and she comes out in a pair of shorts, a t-shirt, pulling her hair up, no makeup, and I was stunned. So it was a very genuine and specific compliment. I said, you are so hot right now, and it just came out, and she goes, oh my gosh, thanks, this? I'm like, yeah. And just that low maintenance, but she looks great in every stage of whether she's got to put on a dress or whether she's just ready to go work out or whatever. And making those comments speak huge into a woman's actual soul and heart. I love this one. Say it now. We did that one. Make positive comments. Good. The next one, lose fine as an answer. Lose fine as an answer. If she says, how do I look, or is this okay? She is the worst answer we can ever give is, oh, you look fine. That's not fine. And when she says fine, she's actually asking, do you think I'm beautiful? Are you still glad you're with me? She's like, yeah, that's fine. I loved one of the guys last night brought up a line from The Italian Job. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie or not, but the main female character, she's a safecracker, and they're going in for this job, and they said, how are you doing? It's this crew of guys, and she goes, oh, I'm fine, and they all started laughing, and she's like, why is that funny? And they're like, well, that's an acronym. Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. That's what it means. So if your wife says, I'm fine, it means she's freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional, and just take that to heart, going, okay. So she needs validated in that situation moving forward. Is this okay? Does not mean is this okay. It means, do you think I'm beautiful? Are we still okay? Are you glad you're with me? And then the next one, or is there just three? Oh, when and this one, I got to say, is one of my pet peeves. When I will compliment her, she's like, don't stop. What she really means is don't stop. Okay, that's what she really means. And she wants more affirmation. I love this line. When she struggles to accept your adoration, it does not mean she does not need it. Not just want it, but need it. She needs that. And I really kind of came down hard on my wife, and she said it a couple times. I think I've broken her of it. And I'll just say something like, you are stunning, that you are so creative. I'll just give her a compliment and mean it. And she goes, oh, well, you have to say that. You're my husband. And I've said it twice now. I'm like, that's BS. I said, I don't have to say it. And I really do. And that's an insult to me for you to say, oh, you're just saying that. No, I'm not. I said, I really believe that. And you're my wife. And I really am proud of you. And I really do think that looks good. Just know that that's disrespectful to me. And she's like, oh, well, I didn't mean it that way. And I'm like, well, I don't care how you meant it. That's the way it came across. So it really hits. And then this one I've learned at a different level. Is it a cost or an investment? Old and frumpy or outdated clothes she feels is unattractive. It doesn't matter how great she looks. If she feels unattractive in that, I've found even on a tight budget, she needs those. I've got plenty of clothes, and it takes up about half of the space I have in the closet. She has tubs and tubs of seasonal clothing that we rotate, and she dresses amazingly well, but she loves to shop. I'm very fortunate. My wife is very budget conscious. She'll go to different consignment stores and pick out stuff she loves. And I learned a few years ago, she's sticking within a budget. So anytime she wants anything, I say yes, especially if it's a consignment store. And I've had to bite my tongue because my wife has 458 pairs of shoes. And then she sees a pair that looks exactly like four other pairs she has. And she's like, oh, my gosh, aren't these great? And I've just, what she's saying is not, are these great? She's saying, I want to feel beautiful, and these are going to make me feel beautiful. Yes. And I don't even ask anymore because I did it first and it was like, they're so stinking cheap, but they're designer name and somebody decided to sell them there. I'm like, get those. But at least two or three times a year, I'll take my wife to nicer stores, which she will mention. And I don't know what store it is for your wife, but she'll mention, oh man, they have a son. I could never afford that stuff in there. And I'll take her in there. Maybe it's a birthday, Mother's Day, whatever it is. And I'm like, we're not leaving until you buy a couple things in here. Because you need to realize you're not only worth it, but it just feels different. And you're going to feel different in it. And you've got to get something in here. And she'll fight me on it sometimes. But I'm like, every time she'll get a couple items, she'll wear them. She goes, oh my gosh, this is so nice. I didn't realize that clothes could feel this way. And I love this. And I bought into this. It's an investment, not a cost. And it has paid dividends in her countenance and the way she feels about herself. Not all women are into clothes. Some are into shoes. Some are into accessories. Find out what hers is and invest in that. It'll pay dividends in the long run. Great. And then the last piece I wanted to take a quick look at, I'm not going to do a deep dive on this, but I've got to just say it is becoming an increasingly damaging part of society, and never before has there been more access and more damage than what's happening in the area of porn and or that we're called to protect. Unlike noticing women in public, porn is a conscious choice. This is what women view porn as, okay? It is a conscious choice. Looking at porn sends a devastating marriage with harsh consequences for her. It devastates her heart like nothing else. And because it says to her, you are not enough, and shatters our ability as the primary reflection of her beauty back to her. If that's a part of our life, it is literally the same. There's a verse that Jesus shared, I think is on the next screen. I hope it is. It says, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, I used to take that as, okay, I get it. Emotionally, that's affecting me. But what I didn't realize that in a woman's heart, when we are lustful to another woman, in her heart and mind, it is adultery. She has the emotional feeling that we've committed adultery against her. Just in the act of looking, seeking out, and wanting to view that, it has the emotional effect on her of adultery. And I've seen this in guys' lives. One buddy, I it breaks my heart, he ended up causing the divorce. He's like, you know what? I know what's wrong. I'll do whatever you want. And she said, I want you to give me full access to your computer. And I want to be that accountability. He goes, well, that means you don't trust me. And she goes, well, yeah, because you've done this. He goes, well, I can't do that. And it's almost like the Meatloaf song. I'll do anything for love. Oh, but I won't do that. And it's like, okay, well, that's the whole point. And so it can be damaging. Versus the protector, our wives need to know we only have eyes for her. And when we communicate that through our actions, now listen, women are walking around. I don't know what she sees as beautiful and not. I don't have the capability. It wasn't like we got married, I put this ring on, and every woman was ugly. But what we do with that, I love the phrase of an older gentleman shared with me one time. He said, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest on your hair. It's like, so don't dwell on it. And it's okay. And I've told my wife, I'll take it a different level. I had a gentleman last night. He says, you know, I tell my wife she's beautiful and she doesn't believe me. And it's like, you know what? Keep pouring into her. Keep pouring into her. You're that reflection and it's okay. She needs that from us. And the next part, I think that was it on the protector. One of my favorite illustrations. Y'all know who David Robinson is? Played basketball for the Spurs, center, Air Force, or not Air Force, Naval Academy grad. Great guy. Sports Illustrated did a interview with him in the mid-90s. And this guy followed him around for a week through his normal routine of playing games and practice and media and all that. And one of the points he pointed out was he said, I've noticed there's this fringe of people and a fringe of women that are in every NBA city. And they dress very seductively and they make themselves very available. And I've done some stuff with the NBA, and it's almost characteristic that they're just there, and it's like they're not hiding anything. And the reporter noticed and then asked David about it. He said, you know, these people are coming up, and these women are coming up, and they're just trying to make conversation. And you kind of blow them off and really borderline rude to some of these women. And he's like, okay. And he said, does that not bother you? And he said, no. And I love the quote. And the quote from it, I want to get it right. He said this, if any woman is going to get her feelings hurt, it's not going to be my wife. His mindset was, I don't care if they're offended because they're here with different motives. And that I don't know what their motives are. I just know that if I engage there, there's a potential of me offending my wife. And that's not going to happen. And he had that mindset. And I've actually met David, and he's just the nicest guy in the world. He would never be rude. So that really was that protector part of him going, I'm protecting my marriage above all. And I was just so impressed with that. So with that, I want to discuss these two pieces along with this. So which of the how-to list did you think is the most effective or important? What are your thoughts about the porn protect information? And then I want you to answer this question, and I'm going to give you the answer that women shared collectively of these 6,000 women they interviewed and surveyed. What is the most important thing you wish your husband knew, but you feel you haven't been able to explain in a way he understands? What do you think that answer is? So answer these questions. Take about 5 minutes on these, and then we're going to end up with that third question. Go. So answer the first two and then think about that one. You got about 5 minutes. It's say it now, lose fine, don't stop, and cost versus investment. All right. Let's wrap this up. I want to get that last question. What's the most important thing you wish your husband knew, but you feel you haven't been able to explain in a way he understands? What do you just kind of get in your mind what you think that is? Because I was blown away. I mean, blown away. It is a major encouragement. And this is the overwhelming. It was the highest, and they said it in a lot of different ways, and I'll tell you some of those ways. But anybody want to take a guess what that would be? I'll leave the surprise to it. Here it is. You are my hero. That's what wives want their husbands to know. And here's some of the ways they said it. I wish he knew how deeply my love and respect for him is. I wish he knew how much I appreciate him, how happy he makes me feel, how much I respect him as a person, that I'd trust him with my life. I dearly appreciate his hard work. I feel incredibly lucky to be with him today. I love this one. When he puts himself down, it hurts me. No one should say that about him, especially him. I wish he just knew this. And as they go through that, it was this heartfeltness. There's a percentage. Go to the next one. What percentage, although I may not always show it well, I do deeply need, respect, and desire my husband. What was that, 93%? 93% said, that's how I feel. And they didn't feel they could communicate that well. I want to leave you with not only that, I hope it's an encouragement, but an idea, because I don't know if you noticed the screen here, but you've got the cars moving in one way here, and I kind of feel like that's the women's lane, and then that's us going the other direction and hope there's an intersection. But I love this. There's a Mack truck coming head on, and I think that's reality coming right at us. And I don't know if Susan did that on purpose or not, but it made me laugh. And I think, yeah, we're outnumbered and we're getting hit. But the encouragement that it's on their hearts and they really do believe in us, it's just this really neat synergy. I want to give you, if you've never seen the movie Cinderella Man, Ron Howard did a movie several years ago. It's based on a true story back during the Depression about Jim Braddock. He was a prize fighter who had made it pretty big and then lost everything. And it's really about the relationship with his family. And it's based around the boxing world, but that's just a small piece of the movie. But there's an incredible part. He gets hurt. He gets kicked out of boxing. And then his manager gets him one fight. And he just out of nowhere wins it. And he makes this run back to where he gets a title shot. And again, it's a true story. But his wife finds out in the promotion of it that the guy he's going in the ring with has actually killed two people in the ring. And she's begging him, don't do this. We'll figure this out. Don't do this. I need you. And she's begging him. And he's like, I have to do this. I'm not going to let my family live on the streets. I at least when I'm in the ring, I know who's hitting me. And it's just this emotional well to where he's like, I have to do this. And he goes to the Madison Square Gardens, and she takes the kids to her sister's, and she goes to the church to pray. And she comes in, and the father's there, and the priest, and she goes, I'm here to pray for Jim. And the priest said, so are they. And the church is packed with people. And the light bulb kind of goes on in her head that this is bigger than him. And so she goes down to Madison Square Gardens, and she walks into the locker room right before he's about to get ready for the fight. And the manager steps out, and she just said, I think I understand a little bit. And then she just speaks into him. And she says, you are the Bulldog of Bergen. That was his nickname. She said, you are the hope of the people. You are the champion to your children, and you are the hero of my heart. She said, you fight, but then you come home. You come home. And it was just one of those moments. I'm just like, that's what every man wants to hear. That's it. They want to know, hey, I'm behind you, and I believe in you. And what I see through this is I love women being open to this, but we need to realize our position in their minds is that they want us to be that hero. So I hope this was really encouraging. John's going to send out a survey. If there's any way to tweak it and make it better, and or I would even say this, if there's a topic or a series you're like, man, I'd really like to know about this more, I'd love to do this again, this format, about another topic, let us know that as well. Before we wrap up, I wanted to have John come up and just share with some of the opportunities coming up. I know that Jeff and Shanti are going to be here in April. They're going to be here on a Sunday and a Sunday night. I would encourage you to make that a date night if you can. And then there's some other really cool men's groups going on right now and moving forward. Will you tell them about that and then pray us out?
Yep. All right, and can we thank Ken for coming out? Yeah. So I wish I had said this last night, Ken, because there's a group in Cincinnati called Men's Healthy Sexuality, and, you know, for guys that are just really struggling with the whole pornography thing, I mean, it's not really a ditch you can get yourself out of if it's the ditch you're in. And so you can find that online, I think, and it's somewhat based in Crossroads, but it's all over the place. They meet in different places. It's just a tough struggle, and it is devastating to your wife. And Scott, are you guys doing a Monday morning? Are you in that group or not? Okay. So what do you guys, several of you guys are in a 609 group on Monday morning, so obviously you guys are here at 609. So talk to Scott or Tom or Harold, yeah. Harold Torrens is not here, but they're doing the 609. And what are you guys doing right now, your topic-wise? Okay. So you'd be doing something new, so... So anyway, well, let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for this time, and thanks for Ken coming here. And we just ask that you would let us not be discouraged, that to keep pursuing our wives, and if she doesn't always reflect respect back to us or something, that might be out of hurt of, you know, us not being able to cherish her the way we need to. So help us to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and the church isn't always that lovable. Just help us to pour into her and be for her what you've really called us to be, even in our weakness. And we just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. If we can put the tables up, that would be great. And let's hopefully a lot of us will head over to Panera and grab some grub together. So leave the chairs. If we can pick up the tables, that'd be great.